I'm not going to have you stand up again today because some of you, like Mike and Jones, are getting old and feeble and can't stand up a real long time. I'm going to allow you to sit down. If you have your Bibles with you, which I hope you do, if you'll go to Colossians 2 to verse 6, and we are going to be reading there. Now, he's talking to believers at the church at Colossae, and he's talking to us. Let's just receive this first verse into our heart. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, and we have, if we have true faith, so walk in him. And that's again to highlight what Pastor Joseph said, that to receive the message of salvation automatically has implications for how we live. I thought he did a powerful job making that point. Rooted and built up in him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world. And we face that temptation all the time, don't we? Our young people face it. Young adults face it. Middle-aged people face it. And even people like myself, older people that ought to know better, we face it. We all face that. And he says, so don't be deceived. Don't be cheated according to the principle. And not according to Christ. So we have to avoid those things that are not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus was fully God. That's what he's telling us. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Jesus in charge will rule over everything. The time is coming when he returns, the whole world will confess him as Lord. Some will confess it from the joy of salvation, and some will confess it as they go down to the pit of hell, sadly. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sin of the flesh of death by the circumcision of Christ. And as you know, Paul had to constantly deal with Jews that were wanting to make the Gentiles go through all the rites, including circumcision, to be saved. But no, those are works of the flesh. They don't save. Christ is our circumcision. Buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Christ is the first fruit of all who rise in him. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements against us, which was contrary to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Having disarmed principles and principalities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding festivals or new moons or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But in substance of Christ, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You know, if Joseph preached to us about the warning that we not be puffed up in ourselves, but that we have humility. And not holding to the head. Now, the head there refers to Jesus Christ, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. I want us to pray this morning. Lord, open this word not only to our ears, but to our hearts and minds, and firmly graft it in each of us, and more especially in the leadership of this church. that we would be in the right way. Amen. Today I want to talk to the congregation about an important thing that we need to accept, and not only accept it, but strive to live in it. Some time ago, I was having dinner in Greensboro with one of the major business leaders in that city, and he was talking to me about his church, and I know something about his church, and he said, you know, people have a lot of good ideas, and yet they just don't seem to pull together. One will press their idea, and another will press theirs, and yet really there's no contention between people, and that's a wonderful thing, but we're not getting anywhere. And he said, I don't know what the problem is. And that happens in churches, doesn't it? Not people of bad intent, but sometimes people of good intent. And I remember when I went to Parkman Church up in Ohio. Beautiful little New England style church. All those, if you go up to Northeast Ohio, it looks like you're in New England because it's all settled by Connecticut Yankees who got their land for fighting in the Revolution. And it's almost like they transferred rural Connecticut into that area. And we needed a new church. Our little church was a beautiful little New England style church, but we had a problem. It's a very good problem to have. The problem was it would seat about 110. No way in the world we could get the people in that were coming. And they had known for a few years they needed to build a new building. And we had one group of people thought it ought to be done this way, and another group of people, and these are all fine people, I want to say, it's not malicious people, and another group that thought it ought to be done this way, and then another group that thought it ought to be done another way. And we did have one old gentleman that didn't think we needed to do it at all. You always have those, but they had could just never come together. So my wife and I invited them to the parsonage, all the leadership, not just the official leadership. Everybody who works at churches knows you have official leaders and you have de facto leaders too, who people by their influence have. We invited them over to breakfast and we said, we're going to talk about the church's need for a new building. But we're going to talk about it only after we have prayed. Because I said, no, I hope my leaders will write this principle down. It's absolutely true. People have many plans. I said, some are very good. People have many plans. But God has only one plan. We have many plans. But God has only one plan. Now, you can go through the whole Bible and see that's true. God has only one plan in resolving and dealing with issues. So I told that group of people that day that we're here to listen to the head of the church. And the head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the preacher, it's not the deacons, it's not any of you. Some of you out there may think you're the head of the church, but you're not. The only head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And so I said, Parkman Church's task is to discover what the Lord Jesus wants in terms of this building we need. And I said, we're going to pray until the Lord begins to speak to hearts. And we prayed for 3 hours. You ever prayed for 3 hours? Good things happen when you faithfully pray. And then the Lord began to speak to people's hearts. I know it was the Lord. You know why I knew it was the Lord? Because when they talked and they went out that door leaving the parsonage, they were all in agreement to what the Lord said needed to be done in terms of that new building. They've been talking about it for 9 or 10 years. And in 3 months, it was going up. And it's paid for today. And it's a facility that would meet needs in the ways that the other suggested three ways would have never done. Lakeview, none of us know how long we're going to be in the earth, and none of us do. Our friend Roy Lee went out the back door to mow his yard. And one flawed step, he fell and pretty much died instantly. His body lived on, but Roy was gone. None of us know that. That little girl, sweet little girl, talking to this wonderful Christian young lady in our church, had no dream that the chest pain she was feeling would probably result in her death. You know, none of us know that. And preachers need to realize that. We don't live for others, you know. When a preacher gets old, you just turn him out to pasture. But none of us know that. But I want to lay this on you today, because you need to hear it. The church needs to hear it. Our leaders need to hear it. Like I told my friend who was concerned about his church, I said, as fine as these people are, the problem they are not, and reason they are not making progress is they're focused on what they think is right rather than working to discern what the Lord wants in their life and ministry. And leaders, the greatest task that we face is to keep ourselves focused on seeking the will of Christ as the head of the church. And members, that is your greatest focus, to keep your focus on Christ being the head of your church. And all of us, you know, anything that parallels a healthy church, may I say this? This is just a footnote, but it's true. Anything that parallels a healthy life parallels the health of the church. You know, as an individual, your head is what wills things and chooses things and discerns things. You know, and as long as they're physically healthy, I can say to my left hand, come up and go down. That's directed by the head, isn't it? And the Lord Jesus needs to be the head of your life individually as well. So it parallels what I'm saying. But Lakeview's way to health is to be submissive to Christ as the only head of the church. He's the head of this body. Paul uses the analogy. You know, we sometimes struggle. Paul was aware of that. When he talked about the church being the body of Christ, it says the hand might want to say to the elbow, I want to be an elbow, but that's not the way God arranged it. I want to tell every person here, and sometimes it's hard for us to get into the place where we're able to receive this and discern it. God, in this body at Lakeview, has a purpose for every one of you and for me. And I've come to believe this. In fact, I think I know it now. That God calls people into a church to meet a need in that body. If they're a believer. That's why I say church growth is not the important thing. Spiritual growth is the important thing. You don't want people coming into the church that aren't born again. As leaders, certainly. But those of you who've been born again, God has put you here for a purpose, and there's some work in this church that He has planned for you. And it may not be what you want. You know, the Lord does not always give us what we want, does He? I remember I knew this girl one time. And I said, Lord, please let her like me as a boyfriend. I mean, I know I've got giant ears and a lot of things that make me unattractive, but please let me. And the Lord said no. And one of my friends actually ended up going with this girl, and after a while, and I talked to my friend, I said, thank you, God, for unanswered prayer. He doesn't always give us to what we want, but he in the calling into his body, he has a need for you, and that's what's important. That's why those who are gifted to sing ought to be lining up to sing. I'm not there to beg you. And sometimes it's the most menial thing to make the body strong. I remember I had in one of my churches an old lady named Mrs. Curtis. Mrs. Curtis could not read or write. But Mrs. Curtis knew the Bible better than most of the people in this room. She had memorized it. And we had a lot of activities at this church. And that's back in the days where we had plastic and paper plates. Usually we used real china. And Mrs. Curtis would get in that kitchen and get into Dawn or whatever it was up to her elbows and washing those plates and cleaning them. If we were having a big dinner, she kept clean plates coming out of there. And I'll never forget one time what she said to me. She said, preacher, I ain't smart enough to teach, although I think she's wrong about that. Taught me a lot of things. I can't read or write. But she says, I know the Lord works in these church meals. And praise God, I can wash dishes as good as anybody. We see, that was her gift. It was listed as a gift of hospitality in the Bible, but that was her gift. And she was humble enough and honored God enough to say, God, I might like to be the teacher, but God use me wherever you want. Human arrogance can get in the way of Christ being the head of the church. You know that? One time in Hickory, we had a cleaning day. And we had a family there that, they all drove Mercedes salons. Now, you don't see many Mercedes salons around. A Mercedes salon is the size of a full-size Cadillac. And so that'll tell you, and they weren't in debt either, that'll tell you something. So we were working that day, and she shows up, and she asks one of the deaconesses, she says, what can I do to help? She says, well, right now we need somebody to go in there and scrub out all the commodes and clean up the bathrooms, because we were missing somebody to do that. Would you do it? She did it. And then she walked out in a huff and says, it's beneath me to ever do anything like that again. And she left the church. And incidentally, like when a lot of people leave the church in a huff, we didn't notice any difference in the treasury, Laurie. But anyway, the point is that we look to the Lord to be his humble servant. If all he wants of me is to be a leg in the church to help it move, I am content to be just a leg. And that's the way we need to look at it. But the church and its leaders always need to be deciding for the church what it is that the head of the church directs us to do. Now, it's a wonderful thing. I can tell you today that there's no reason for you to be confused about what the head wants for Lakeview Church or what the head wants for your life and my life, because he's given it to us in his blessed word and in the person and being of his son, Jesus. So when you want to look and understand what the head wants of the church, you look to the head and not to worldly ideologies or principles. I had a church one time that had a vision of being a mega church. Now, you know, I knew it was never going to become a mega church. And I don't know if mega churches are always what they're cut up to be anyway. lot of people join them just so they can lose their identity and be less likely to be called on to do something. But they tried this program, and they tried that program, and this program, and that program, and then none of them ever worked. And you know what the problem was? The problem, they were listening to whatever Charles Stanley's son's name is, and they were listening. Thank goodness they weren't listening to Joel Osteen, but they were listening to some other big, great big preachers as to what ought to be done. And they weren't listening to the right one. They weren't asking, Lord Jesus, what do you want done? Ray, I want you to pound that into the deacons, will you, brother? That our task is to discern what the head wants for Lakeview Church. And I want you people to pound that into your heart. So now quickly, and you love those words quickly, and it is going to be quickly. I want you to understand that we may have plans, but there's only one plan that unifies the church, and that's the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. And seeking the will and way of Jesus Christ in your life, your family, and in your church will be the way you submit yourself to that place that brings unity, to that one that breaks unity, and that is Jesus Christ. There is no unity in life or death between man or woman, parent or child. No true unity. No true unity in the church unless Jesus Christ is the one to whom you look and who is the head. Amen. So how do we do it? First, in seeking the headship of Christ, we must have in our hearts humility and submission to Christ. In other words, we in our hearts and minds must come to Him in humility, knowing that His will is the way. His will is the way. My father, he was an old-fashioned Southern gentleman, went to private schools, could speak and write Greek and Latin better than I could in English still. So, but he'd always refer to my brothers and I as gentlemen, and that was just rhetorical. He knew we weren't gentlemen. But he would say, gentlemen, remember, only God is right all the time. Can you say that to yourself? Remember. I must be going deaf. Remember, only God is right all the time. Now, you put that in your heart. It'll get you right. It'll get you right. So that, and also that this means we submit in humility to all the circumstances we face looking unto Christ. The head of the church. It's another principle, number two. The head of the church will never contradict what his word teaches. The head of the church will never contradict what the word teaches. The only truly consistent reality in all of creation is the Lord God. I'm inconsistent sometimes. Ask Elizabeth. She'll testify. All of us are. But the Lord God is always consistent, and His will and His will never contradict what He's already revealed to us in His Word. Now, we see a lot of churches today that will say, well, God's will is this or that, and I know the United Church of Christ has this motto, God is still speaking. Sounds good, doesn't it? And He is, in a sense. Every time you pick this up and read it, He's speaking. But the trouble is, they advocate so many things that are clearly contrary to God's Word, and I know that is not the head of the church speaking to them. And I want to tell Lakeview the same thing. Anytime we have inclinations or actions, our feelings in our heart, any plans that do not align with His Word, then we will know at that point the Lord God is not the head of the church, but we are. So point number two, the head of the church will never contradict what His Word teaches. I don't pound on myself and pound on you to know the Word of God, but it is so important you know the Word of God, because unless you know the Word of God, you cannot discern God's will. Did you hear me? That unless you know the Word of God, you cannot discern God's will. How do I know that? Because Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll do a number of things. One of the things He'll bring into your remembrance, everything He taught you. The only way you can remember what He taught you, if you know what He taught you, and He does that in His holy word. Thirdly, the head rules the body, which is united in seeking His will and His direction. The two greatest churches I've had the opportunity to pastor was Lakeview Community Church and the church with a very strange name, because it started out as house churches and still had a lot of that in it. The church at our house in Mililani, Hawaii. And I went there to teach them, and I think I taught them something, but I learned so much, because all these people were converts in Buddhism, the vast majority of them. And we had a board of elders, which parallels deacons here. Once a year, we went away for 3 days, just the elders. And we went to a place out in on the north shore of Hawaii where there was nothing and no distractions, a church camp that had no televisions and no radios and nothing at all. Beautiful scenery, but nothing at all. And we took our Bibles and we would pray and read our Bibles privately for 3 days. We would come back and share what the Lord seemed to be saying to us. And then we would go back and pray some more, reflecting on what our brothers had said. The Lord was praying and praying. The initial aim was to receive as leaderships of the church what the Lord God wanted the church at our house to do in the coming year. And He surprised us lots of times. Church a little smaller than this one. God put on our elders' hearts that the families in our community needed help, and we boldly stepped out in faith and pledged to bring a speaker in that was probably had more money than we had on hand at the time, but the money came in, and we had to go from renting the elementary school gym to finally having to rent the largest public auditorium in central Oahu to get all the people in that wanted to come. And Buddhists came, and everybody came, and this great Christian teacher taught about husband and wife relationships according to the Bible and what those roles were, and I began to see people get excited, and I had a number of Buddhists say, I want to know more about this man Jesus. My family's in a mess. And we never had a clue that's what the Lord wanted us to do until we prayed and ask Him. You see, it's a different mindset, isn't it? But you know what? That's the New Testament mindset for the church. The church is to be the body of Christ. We're going to all have different jobs. We may not like have the job we have, but God will use it if we're under the headship of Christ. The head rules the body when it is really seeking His direction. Fourthly, I want to say prayer. as deacons praying together, as trustees praying together, as congregation praying together, asking the Lord, what is your will for me and what is your will for this church? Lord answers. Praying in private in your home, Lord, what is your will for me? What is your will for me as a part of the body? Lord, I'm content to be a fingernail if that's all you want me to be, to pray and to seek his will. And God is not silent. You see, we limit ourselves by doing what we think is best. We really do. And I know you people, all of you people are very noble people as far as I know. Much more noble than me. But we still limit ourselves by looking to ourselves rather than to the Lord. And prayer brings us into his presence, listening to him, reading his word in prayer, seeking his will, seeking his headship over us and over the church. Patience and waiting, fifth. Lord does not always speak and direct us just when we want it. You know, he didn't speak to Parkman Church just when they wanted it. He spoke to Parkman Church in his time when they were ready to hear about that new building. He spoke to the church at our house in his time when they were ready to receive the needs of unbelieving families being destroyed in our community. Patience, trust. He will speak. Sometimes in our patience, God has to get us to the place where we'll submit or where we'll hear. And finally, the greatest words congregation's been sitting there too long like to hear. Finally, to have in our hearts as individuals and as a church, as leaders, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, when God brings us that place that we commit ourselves, we want his will to rule in our life. His will to rule over the life of Lakeview Church. My friends, I can promise you, I can absolutely assure you that you have not even begun to comprehend what the Lord God can do through Lakeview Church if we just say, Lord, speak to us. You be the head of our life in all things. In budgeting, in the use of facilities, whatever. You be the head of all things. And that's how we become his church, truly. Like I said last Sunday, somebody came up and said, Preacher, are you getting ready to leave soon? I don't think so, not real soon. But I'm going to be leaving one of these days. I am. Might be like my friend Roy Lee. I hope that's how it goes. Instant death, instant glory, as Spurgeon said. Or it may be there's a church needs me worse than you do. And I've got some churches I'm praying for that are in terrible shape. But that's in God's hands. I mean, I'm under his authority. But friends, we've seen great things at this church, haven't we? Financially, we paid off a tremendous debt in a short time. We've already paid for the roof. We've got a wonderful building, thanks to the trustees and your all's generosity, out there to store equipment in. We've got an outstanding youth group. Youth group is not just enjoying being part of each other, but they're sharing the gospel with other people. We've got a missions movement started here that I believe is going to go full guns. And God's going to bless church through it. And the deacons are praying for us to be more effective in gathering visitors and guests to the church and making them feel at home and reaching out to lost people. We're starting to do that more and more. We haven't even begun to imagine what God can do through us. If he's the head. humble enough to wash out toilets if that's what the body needs. And receive that as a holy calling. Humble enough to wash dishes. And those who are humble most of all in leadership and in preaching, if that's what God wants. Write it on your heart, Lakeview. Write it on your heart. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. And we are looking unto Him. Amen. Don't y'all ever forget, when I'm dead and gone, probably down in Mississippi, lost my mind hunting hogs or something, doing that. You remember, said, you know, that old preacher reminded us that if we're going to be the church of Jesus Christ must be the head and not ourselves. Amen.